world. It's the Mike and Abe Show, right now, taped live. We're covering everything. Everything you always wanted to know about yellow cab driving and may have been afraid to ask. We're going to cover it right here, right now, on the air, on NYCTaxiNews.com. That's NYCTaxiNews.com. This is the website for cabbies all over the world, in particular in New York City, where we fight the good fight, and we're going to start the show now. Hey, hey, welcome aboard.
Hey, how do you like that? Mike Tartin, the show. Okay,
that's right.
And
damn
I'm,
right.
And I'm Abe, and Mike is Mike, and that was Mike. Okay, so Mike, what's
that
new?
What's new?
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Invariably, we've got everything under the sun. We're going to talk about the fare increase that wasn't, and some people who are against the fare increase, which you got me on that one. And the more and more I look at it, I take a little interview on the streets. The drivers themselves wanted a fare increase. The owner-drivers and owner-operators of guys who have medallions and gals who have medallions, most of them, like the overwhelming majority of them, wanted some sort of fare increase. And I think there might be something where people who don't drive cabs or people who don't physically run cabs didn't want a fare increase. So we got to figure out why that is happening. And one little bit of news that is a little creepy came down the pike. It came down the pike with you, the newsbreaker of the family. Abe was sent that to me. And what's happening in the beginning of December, Abe?
There's going to be an auction of 60 medallions, okay?
These are different medallions from the last batch.
Yeah, right. You know, and you know, this came to me from an anonymous source, okay? I don't know where it came from, but I'm going to read you what it says. Notice of public auction pursuant to the Uniform Commercial Code of New York, of the City of New York, taxicab medallions. And it lists 60 medallions in this auction. Okay. One, two, three, four of which are two medallions of corporations. Okay, the rest are individual.
Oh, well, so, all right. So a lot of these, a lot of these, since we're in the business, a lot of these medallions that you see with the number configuration associated with those medallions, those are from individual people, correct?
Yeah, it's all individuals except for two, four, six, eight medallions that I see are mini fleet corporations. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow, that's
Well,
and I'll tell you something. Look.
I searched the internet to see if it's listed anywhere. Now this is being done. I know this much by a Capital One Bank. Okay. All right.
Okay.
And you know, I searched the internet to see if I can get some information. Okay.
Right.
Now, where does it say Capital One Bank? Let me see. Capital One Investment Finance Corp. Doing business as Capital One Taxi Medallion Finance. Okay, so I believe it's Capital One Bank. And the only article I could find anywhere was an article that, let me guess here, I find it. I had it here a minute ago. Things disappear on me. You know, here it is. Okay, it was an article concerning Capital One and an auction that they tried to do in September where... nobody bid their upstart amount. Okay, so
the upset bid. Okay,
the upset bid. Okay, so that's. I'll just leave it at that because I don't want to, you know, give information that I'm not aware of. Okay, I don't want to make up information, but I'll just read you where the auction is. Okay, the auction will commence on December 5th, 2017, at 10:30 a.m. The place is the Stuyvesant Ballroom of the Marriott, located at 525 Lexington Avenue. I believe that's the Marriott on the corner of 49th Street. Okay?
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. That's a great place to get a job, by the way.
Persons wishing to attend the auction must... Now, part of this page, it was a photo that was sent to me, so I can't see all the text. Okay, but, you know, does it give any contact information? Not really, okay? But there should, but I would like a reporter to be on the scene so somebody can report this, Okay.
What time is the fun start?
The auction will take place at Stone Baron. Persons wishing to attend the auction must 10:30 a.m. 10:30 a.m. Okay.
Now, last auction they had, I think there's been a couple of auctions where it's been inside a like a big office. So this is interesting. So if there's going to be at the Marriott, I'm hoping they'll have some donuts and coffee. That would be nice.
Well, they're doing
if for nothing else, you get a free cup of coffee.
Well, they're doing it at the Stuyvesant Ballroom, and a ballroom isn't a small room. Okay, right. A ballroom is like a place where you would have a wedding, you know, where people can dance. So perhaps they're expecting a lot of people to attend. Okay.
I don't think the people dancing will be the people who lost their medallions. I don't think they'll be up to
No, that's tango. Over. These are foreclosures that Capital One, it appears they did. Okay.
Right.
And, you know, there's been a lot of foreclosed medallions in the last year or two. Okay.
Correct.
And hopefully, you know, I mean, despite the hardship for the people who were foreclosed on, okay, but hopefully these medallions will see their way back onto the street. Okay.
Correct. Well, that's another thing. That's a good point.
And, you know, and if they see their way back onto the street, there'll be more yellow cabs out on the street. And my opinion is that the more yellow cabs on the street, the more yellow cabs people have to use, and they don't have to use those other creeps.
Right. Creep is a good word. Yes. Okay. In our opinion, they are creeps. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So let me just say one thing. This auction is very disturbing because there was this economic summit in the spring of this year. Spring. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had any official dossier, because that's the big media word now. We haven't had any dossier of economic results. And the other thing with that economic hearing that was in the spring, initially it was scheduled as an economic hearing to take a look at medallion taxi economics. All right, medallion. It was supposed to be an industry meeting to take a look at the medallion taxi economics. Fine. Right. Everybody was like, thank God we're going to do that. Then all of a sudden they balled it up into this big livery, black car, van, medallion. So instead of us getting to the nectar of what the problem is with the taxi medallion dropping like a stone into the ocean, they made it into this big jamboree of economic stuff, which, you know, I guess we got some information from everybody, but it was such a mishmash that we really just blew by the core of the industry problem, which is the price of the medallion. And also, you talk about this auction that's coming up, this December 5th thing.
Mm-hmm.
When the TLC and the City of New York sold their medallions, original issue, which I love, because you get a medallion from the City of New York, it's crystal clear, and it's clean, and there's no baggage attached to it. When they sold those medallions, they put on their auction, from their information that they've gathered from their floors of lawyers and accountants that work for the city, they established an upset price for auctioning a medallion from the city.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying repeatedly, you talk about banging the drum, this is a drum that I'm glad you're hitting, because at the very least, the taxi medallion right now should be the price of the city-designated upset bid price for their auction. So whatever the last medallion auction price was, coming from the City of New York, it told the buyers that, look, we've sat down, we figured it out, this is how much this medallion is worth, minimum, in our opinion, all right? So, at the very least, if someone was in the jackpot, like if somebody's losing their medallion at this auction, I would think they'd be in the right to say, look, I was suckered and bamboozled and flim-flammed and hornswaggled into thinking this thing was $800,000, because that's what I paid from the City of New York.
Even
okay.
More.
Now it's up
even
to the city
more.
Of New York.
Yeah.
Even more, and it's in there. It's in the City of New York charter code that the City of New York has a responsibility to maintain the economic viability of the New York City taxi medallion, and that's not Mike and Abe saying this. That's in stone, etched into the city charter, City of New York. So now, when I see these medallions going to auction in December, right, just in time for Christmas, I might add. The problem here is that a lot of these drivers are in the jackpot because whether they bought these medallions from the city of New York or whether they bought it in private sale, there was a number established by the city of New York how much that medallion is worth. And they flooded the industry with that information. And now the medallion is worth half that. I feel that some of these medallion owners, especially if they get the medallions grafted them at a bank auction, they should have the right to go to the city and say, listen, pal, when you started this auction, it was 800. Now I'm getting like 300, 400, whatever the price is. I need my $400,000 back. I think at the very least, the city of New York should find a way to resolve that. I don't know how they're going to resolve that, but it should be resolved.
I agree. Go ahead. I agree. That's all I can say. I agree. You know, right. You know, and you know, would like to mention that the TLC continued to run what they felt the medallion was worth for a number of months after the crash began. Okay.
Right.
And during the auction, which they were listing the corporate medallions at $1.3 million on their website.
On their website.
You know, it's possible that that may not have been truthful. Okay.
In your opinion.
In my opinion.
In our opinion.
And well, others have said this. This is what people have said. Okay. You know, this is going back to 2014. Okay, when they last auctioned, when the city last auctioned medallions. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of gray area here that should be investigated.
To put it mildly, should be investigated.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because, you know, there's two sides to every story. On the one hand, you could say maybe some cab driver will get a medallion for cheap who's starting in the business, like him and his brother want to buy a medallion, and they're getting it auctioned. But on the other hand, there's a Mike and Abe out there who's been driving for 30 years, and because the city didn't do what they were supposed to do, your life savings has now gone down the drain. So that's the other thing that auction says.
That's correct. Okay, you know, I'm a kind of guy that, you know, that I don't want to cry over spilt milk. Okay?
Right.
All right? You know, what happened is what happened, and I just like to see it corrected. Okay? And you know, we have a council person, who's the head of the transportation committee, and he's also running for speaker of the city council. You know, it's a big field of people that are running against him. So, you know, there's some chance that he could become speaker. Love to see that. Okay.
Right.
I'm talking about Adonis Rodriguez. Okay, who is actively trying to help the medallion owners. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But you know, I don't know, and I wonder, what is he up against in his quest to help us? Okay, you know, is what he's trying to do real, or is it just an effort to appease the medallion owners? Okay.
Yeah. Well, what he's up against is everything.
Yeah, I know, but you know, he's got a bill out now, he wants to give all medallion owners a second car to run on their medallion. Okay.
I'm a little wishy-washy on that idea. It's kind of like doubling the misery.
Well, you know,
degree.
One part of this idea is it's interesting, you know, to have a second car, but I don't believe that it would be mandatory to run that second car. In other words, I believe what would come of it is that the medallion owners would have an option to run that second car. Okay.
Well, I mean, the thing is, how many ways are you going to cut up the pie for customers? I mean, Mike, what will this do? I mean, what will this do? Will this like push out the existing zillion Uber cars, and now everybody's going to drive this second car?
Well, you know, I believe the biggest enemy here is the fact that there's so many cars. Yeah, is there so many cars on the street? You know.
Right.
You know, but the thing is this, what this is battling is the fact that, you know, the FHVs are not capped. So they're putting out 20,000 cars a month or some ridiculous number. okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or 2,000 right. cars a month, I think it is, all right?
Right?
You know, and over a year, 2,000 times 12 is 24,000. And even the TLC chairman, Mira Joshi, has predicted in the next year, and this was predicted 2 months ago, that there'd be another 35,000 of these cars out on the street. Okay.
Oh my God.
Well, you know,
where's the economic, where's the environmental impact study? Remember every time we wanted to put one little cab on the road, everybody set their hair on fire with economic, the environment, the economic impact.
I know,
the
but here's the thing, you know, it's not written into the law that the FHVs need an environmental impact study. I don't believe. Okay. And it's written into the law for the yellow cabs, for the medallions, okay?
Well, what about the conflict of interest? What about equal rights? What about, so all of a sudden, we're restrained from putting more cabs on the road,
right.
And all of a sudden they get to drive around willy-nilly. And I'll tell you something else, what is very disturbing. You got ambulances, cops, emergency service, they can't get through the traffic. You have these people blocking the traffic because there's so many cars, and part of that is just to see how much can you take in Manhattan. I drive like 4 or 5 days a week now, all right?
Yeah.
And I see Uber cars going real slow. They don't even pull over to wait for a call. They're just cruising and going downtown. And another little thing, if I might jump topics, can we jump into something else?
Go. The floor is yours.
All right. I had a lady in the cab on Thursday night. Nice lady. She used to be on the radio. She used to do news and blah, blah, blah. She's with her husband and the 10-year-old son, and they got out of the Barclays Center in Brooklyn when the game broke. So there's green cars. The little green cars are waiting on the line.
Mm-hmm.
The yellow cabs are waiting with the green cars, and they're kind of like working together, so it's the beginning of something that's good,
right?
Because the green cars want the locals for Brooklyn.
Right.
Because when the green car goes into the city, they have to come back empty. So they kind of like want the Brooklyn work. And the yellow cab wants the job into the city because they want to work in Manhattan to get like the very busy Manhattan work. So
right
now, without any law or inspector or anything else, it's working on that line because the green cars will actually say, oh, if you want to go into the city, you know, the yellow cab is behind you. But they're not refusing. They're just pointing to an available cab that's on the same line. So we're going to have to work with that. But the lady told me when they came into LaGuardia Airport, she said the cab line, she said there had to be at least at LaGuardia Airport, 1,000 people on the cab line waiting for cabs at the main terminal. And I said, oh, my gosh. See, this was 10 o'clock on what would have been a Thursday night when they came in.
Mm-hmm.
And all this stuff about the traffic's getting better, I don't know about that. Because what she said, and then I said, well, what happened? She goes, well, we were waiting for a cab, and the cabs couldn't get through because the traffic was blocked. And all these Uber cars are waiting in their Uber bullpen on the side. But you have these hustlers in black cars who are not Uber cars and are not regular black car guys.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing, and this is what I got from what she told me. She said, I said, how'd you get into this? She goes, well, eventually there was a guy, I guess he was talking on the phone to other drivers. he was able to get us a car into the city for $100 after he pulled them off the line. And surprise, surprise, a car came around and took them into the city for $100 instead of the yellow cab legally taking them into the city for $40. So not only did they get a car that was not a yellow cab from LaGuardia going into the city for $100, which is almost three times the price, but a guy with a headphone is organizing gypsy cabs to pick up illegally at LaGuardia. And I said, were there any airport police? I didn't, you know, Port Authority police? Or she goes, well, there were a couple of security guards on the side with the orange vest, but they really weren't doing anything. So I don't know who's on the payroll, who's not on the payroll, but the fact of the matter is what these cars are doing now in LaGuardia, and somebody else told me this, is they're actually blocking traffic to create a traffic mess and force people to take alternative illegal forms of transportation. Now, how's that grab you?
It doesn't grab me well, and I want to ask you this. Whose responsibility is it to clean this crap up?
Well, first it started off with the Port Authority Police, And then somebody told me they were mad because they hadn't had a contract in 8 years. So they, I'm not saying they were standing down, but they were just kind of like looking the other way. That's what somebody told me.
Yeah, but now whose responsibility is it? Give me an answer. Who?
I would say if you want to talk to the top dog, it's Cuomo. It's Governor Cuomo.
Okay.
He made,
okay.
Yeah.
And he's running for governor next year?
I think he's not only running for governor, I think he's running for president. So he's running for governor next year.
I'd rather have him president and out of here and get somebody in here that will clean this mess up. You know,
right.
You know, this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay?
Right.
I mean that they should allow this to go on and on and on, and everybody knows it's going on and it continues to go on. That's what drives me nuts, okay?
Well, you got to say, who is, between Governor Cuomo and the people running the airport, there are some people in the middle here, and you got to say, listen, if you can't do this job, get them out of there. Just resign, because apparently it's above their pay scale to figure this out. And I'm saying, just looking at this, say, listen, you got to carve out a lane where it's for cars with passengers leaving the airport, and have like a little express lane for cabs who are legally picking up passengers. And the knuckleheads, because you see, I don't even want to say on the air what I wanted to do, because I see these guys coming through the terminal. They're not dropping off upstairs. They're coming through the terminal empty. They're not picking up anybody on a call. They're just coming through the terminal and driving real slow and blocking up the entire airport. And now, from what the lady told me, I'm connecting the dots and saying that they're creating a traffic mess to create desperation from the people online to create an illegal $100 gypsy cab ride into the city. So this is an outrage. This is, you know, the other thing is, this is federal. This is the Port Authority. This is the airport. And you have organized crime. If a guy is on a walkie-talkie organizing criminal activity, then we've got to get the FBI in there. Because the local yokels ain't doing it.
You know, this is like walking into a bank and having all these trolls hanging out in the lobby, you know, and when you want to withdraw some money, they go, hold on a minute. They talk to the teller, you know, for you, right? Yeah. The teller says, how much do they want? Oh, they want $500. All right, here's four. We split the other 100. Okay?
Right.
Tell them this is all they can get.
All right? Pretty much.
All right, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is unbelievable, Mike. It is unbelievable. You know, there's always been...
Hold on.
There's always been a degree of this, but, you know, this is so... It has grown. The cancer has grown to the point where it has the entire body, and even the doctors don't want to talk to you.
Well, now the other thing is, with the construction in the airport, I'm starting to think that there's construction in the airport, but we were able to navigate around the construction. So they're doing this whole thing, oh, well, you know, with the construction. Say, no. It's not the construction in the airport. Stop hammering the construction in the airport propaganda, because there was a night when nothing was going on, okay? And everything was clear. The construction guys are going home. The equipment was put away. The roads were open. And they're using this nonsense with this construction of the airport to as an excuse for the traffic. Say, no. The excuse for the traffic is you have thieves blocking traffic intentionally to create ripoff of tours. And I had a couple of people in the cab, Abe, I got to tell you, they said, well, you know, we like coming to New York, but it's just the traffic, we don't want to get... So now you have this whole economic steamroller of not only are they getting, you know, stooped on their cab ride into the city, you got people with money to spend who are talking about not coming back to visit New York because it's such a hassle to get into the airport. So you're talking about billions of dollars going down the drain because a few crooks have cooked up some scheme to rip people off. What the hell is going on?
New York City has turned into a third world country.
With a fourth world country. Because in the third world country, they chop off their hands and they chop off their head. At least they got, you know, in the fourth world country, I don't know. It's beyond the third world. It's ridiculous.
It's got to change. It's got to be cleaned up. It's got to be cleaned up.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Well, you know who should run the airport? It's too bad they he got killed by in the war, but Uzi Hussein, Saddam Hussein's sons, they should run LaGuardia Airport if they weren't there.
No, but they would be on the side of the gypsies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, no, we don't need that. We need Dwight Eisenhower running the airport.
Oh, we need Dwight Eisenhower with a flamethrower. Yeah. You know, just put like a bunch of commandos from World War II, like our commandos.
Yeah, yeah. We need military action at the airport to straighten this mess out. Okay, we need
National Guard.
Right,
bring in
exactly.
The National Guard.
Right, we need the National Guard. We need soldiers
now,
in there. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. See, now you get me started. I'm all pissed off.
Cause right.
I literally live maybe 10 blocks away from LaGuardia, all right?
I know
enough where if I want to take a plane out of here going anywhere, I walk to LaGuardia Airport, okay, with a knapsack. I don't take any, like, heavy luggage. And the other thing here is, look, we got an airport we have two airports in Queens, New York. We have LaGuardia Airport, we have JFK Airport, and the bulk of the people running the Queens airports in New York City, JFK and LaGuardia, is being run by some company in New Jersey, basically, called the Port Authority. Okay, they say, Port Authority of New York, New Jersey, BS. I'd say 80 to 90% of the people running New York City airports are from the Port Authority, which is basically stationed in New Jersey, and they run Newark Airport out there as well. So I'm saying to the voters of New York and the Governor Cuomo, say, listen, maybe it's time just to get rid of the Port Authority. Let's look at the big picture, okay?
Yeah.
Why do we even need the Port Authority if we have tens of thousands of police, 400,000 people also working for the city of New York? Maybe it's time to just tell the Port Authority with all this nonsense, goodbye, and just start fresh with our own people running our airports in our borough, for God's sakes. What is the problem?
Well, you know,
right now it's not working.
You know, the Port Authority is
a pirate ship. In my opinion, it's a freaking pirate ship.
It was created, I believe, because of the connection between the two states, New York and New Jersey, such as to run the bridges and the tunnels that connect the two states. Okay?
Right.
And, you know, so why do we need them to run our airports that are only in New York? Okay.
Right. Excellent point. If you have the George Washington Bridge, it's New York and New Jersey. If you have the Lincoln Tunnel and the Holland Tunnel and the Verrazano Bridge to a degree, it's okay. We get it. It's New York and New Jersey. We got to work together, blah, blah, blah. Fine.
Right.
But if you have the airport 100% in Queens and the airport JFK and LaGuardia 100% in Queens, on Queens territory within the city of New York, who's getting all this money? Why is it New York City bringing in that money? That should be our money for the city of New York. What do we need? And you have computers and computer people and high-tech stuff. What do we need the Port Authority for? Why? I don't get it. I want to ask some people listening
why don't you research this, Mike, and next week come back with what you found out, okay?
I'm going to call Crowley, my Congressman Crowley. I'm going to call the local representative and say, listen, the airport is a disaster. It's hurting my business as a cabbie, and it's threatening the economy of New York, because you got people with money who don't have to come here if it's too much of a headache. That's what's scary. So you get someone who comes here like two or three times a year. Let's say somebody comes to New York to visit three or four times a year. They're spending $5,000 a day staying at the best hotel. They're not going to put up with this BS. They don't have to. And if you just say to yourself, my God, the billions, maybe even trillions of dollars are going to go down the drain if we don't take care of this, is scary. So we have to take care of this right away, Abe. Everybody's getting stooped on this because of a few crooks at the airport. Why is this happening? It's ridiculous.
Okay.
You
wanted to say something about a JFK dispatcher?
on a smaller scale, yes. Speaking of which, JFK has cleaned up a little bit. At least that's why on the Taxi Dave show on Sunday nights, at least tonight, I go as JFK Mike, because you really just can't work at LaGuardia if you're a yellow cab driver. You can't. I mean, you're going to wait half hour to get a $20 job. And then that's the end of it. So I go straight to JFK, which is moving pretty well these days because it's the tourist season. You know, happy holidays. Just want to tell the listeners. And but one thing at the airport where the taxi dispatchers, what they're doing, is if a guy has a problem at the front of the line, invariably they start blaring out over the loudspeaker, "You got to move the cab, excuse me, buddy, you got to blah, blah, blah." And it goes over the loudspeaker to, there are 1,000 cab drivers in the lot, not related to the event concerning one driver. Now, why do 1,000 cabbies and everybody else in the area, including their own dispatchers, have to be subjected to one dispatcher screaming on the loudspeaker, yelling at one driver? Because, you know, we go out there, we sit in the lot, you know, we do our online banking, we do our credit cards, we call our family, make our phone calls, and in the background you hear some dispatcher screaming at one driver in front of the line. I think the other dispatchers have walkie-talkies. Say, listen, go to your dispatcher on the walkie-talkie and tell them, the cab next to you, tell them to move the line, okay? You don't have to scream it on the loudspeaker. I don't know if that's for their own amusement or they think they're on a radio show or something, but it's gotten to the point where it's like, listen, that's enough, because it's embarrassing, it's humiliating, and it's workplace harassment, in my opinion. So they might want to look into that, because, you know, there's a lot of lawyers who might want to sue them for workplace harassment, in my opinion, with all due respect. So just take it easy on the loudspeaker at JFK. That's my rant for JFK for this week.
Okay. And now, Mike.
Where are we with the show? How much show time we got left?
How much show time we have left? We got, I don't know, we got some time. Okay?
Okay, good. What else are we going to talk about? Oh, I also want to talk to you about, you had a very good point with the fare increase. With cabbies losing the medallions and a few people in the business saying, oh, no, we don't need a fare increase. Uber. I say, listen, forget about Uber. Uber drivers are not yellow cab drivers. There's a different dynamic, all right? And I've had people in the cab who say they love yellow cabs, but the only time they take Uber is desperation, like at LaGuardia when they're blocking off the traffic. And you said something about putting the rates back on the side of the door in cabs. So talk about that.
Well, they should have never been taken off, okay, for mm-hmm. one. Okay, they were taken mm-hmm. off as, you know, one man decided to take them off. Okay,
and he's gone.
He's still in. He's still waiting in the wings somewhere, coaching those that he's trying to help, because this
in the private sector.
This was part of his master plan. Okay.
Oh, all right,
and
some plan.
And you know, punch number one: take the rates off the doors. Okay, all right.
Interesting.
And they should have never been taken off. Okay, people have a right to know what they're going to pay for a taxi before they get in the taxi. Okay.
Right.
And not only should the rates be on the doors, but the two apps that should really be one app for all the yellow taxis. Okay.
Right.
They should have the information that the rates do exist on the doors, plainly visible to anybody walking down the street. Okay, mm-hmm. not just a little
sure.
thing. Not just a little thing in the window that is basically only being seen by the people using the yellow cabs anyway.
Right. Okay. Because you know the other thing is I've had people from out of town who've never taken a cab. They go, "Well, why does the meter keep clicking?" I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, we're sitting in traffic. We're not moving." The meter says, "Well, there's waiting time." I said, "What do you mean waiting time?" There you go. Stickers on the door. Because listen, and I tell these people, say, well, the meter is clicking because we're sitting in traffic.
You know what they should do, Mike? Let me tell you what they should do. They should give the passengers an option that they could either pay the waiting time or pay a flat rate to get into the cab
No flat rates. Everybody knows what a cab is. If you sit in traffic, then they'll never fix the traffic. That's another thing.
Let me just make my argument, okay? You know, I'm not saying you're right or wrong, or I'm right or wrong, okay? But it is annoying to a person if they're sitting in traffic to just see the meter going up, up, and up as you're waiting in the traffic. So why not just give them a flat $5 surcharge, okay? And to take care of that waiting time.
Honestly, God, I don't even want this. I don't even want this out there because it's been working okay for 70 years. 70 years.
Yeah. Okay.
And Uber has the luxury of surge pricing. They've legalized.
Well, then maybe we should have surge pricing.
Could I finish? Well, hey, now we're getting somewhere. If you say, okay, listen, it's a lot of traffic, so we're going to have 2.0 surge for yellow cabs, like New Year's Eve. Say, listen, effective New Year's Eve, the yellow cabs from 10 to 2 in the morning, 10 p.m. to 2 in the morning, will be 2.0. So basically, it'll be double the rate for New Year's Eve for cabs. So every single cab in the world will be on the street. And if you had that, which would not be a bad idea, say, listen, folks, instead of all this mumbo-jumbo surcharge crap, we're going to have a surge in effect. Even if it was like 1.5, let's say New Year's Eve 1.5, 2.0, they have the ability, these geeks in these meter shops are geniuses, and they can make that an available option in 2 seconds. But we have a chairperson Yoshi. She gets in front of the city council. Her rally cry for the troops is, there's nothing I can do. So she says, there's nothing I can do, over and over again. And she has she looks like a person in person, in my opinion, who really looks like there is nothing she can do. There's nothing she can do.
Right. Well,
so, but if somebody else came in fresh, they could probably do everything.
She's in a job that requires do. That's the name of the job. The name of the job is, you are the chairperson of the taxi commission. That means you must do. Okay?
Well, I mean, this is, right. I mean, this is the thing. When you're the mayor of the city of New York, you have all these department heads. It's like, listen, your job is to say, yes, I can. Your job is to say, okay, we can do
we
it.
We will find a way. We will find a way and do it.
Right. Like, when you get in front of the city council as the chairperson, and you start saying there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm the mayor of the city of New York, I'd say, you know what, here, I'll tell you what, Monday morning when you come into work, bring about a dozen cardboard boxes because you don't have a job anymore. That's what I would say. I'd say, listen, that was the worst thing you could say.
In 1998, when we had our last female, McKechnie, chairperson, okay?
Right.
You know, she came up with, her and her leader, Giuliani, right, came up, I believe, with 14 new rules that drivers needed to adhere to, okay?
Uh-huh.
And everybody said, oh, you can't do that. And she said, only can I do it, I'm going to shove it down your throat, and it's going to happen.
Right.
Okay? Now, we need is a chairperson, male or female, okay, who will tell these creeps that are messing up our streets, you can't do that, get the hell out of my office.
Right. Can you imagine, if Abe is the mayor of the city of New York, and you're watching the city council meeting, and you see your commissioner of the Taxi and Limousine Commission telling the city council, there's nothing I can do. What do you say in your phone call? You're the mayor. Go ahead.
This is Abe. How are you? Fine. Okay, you're fired. Okay, pack up your bags. You know, Alan Decker once told me that
the late great
Alan Decker once told me, who I was very close with, we used to talk all the time on the phone. Okay, he once told me that when a person is given the position of chairperson, okay,
right,
at the TLC, the first thing they ask them to do is sign a resignation to be held in the event they want to get rid of them.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Well, that's what he told me, okay? I mean, you know, so call it hearsay or whatever. So I would tell that person, I'm going to enact your resignation paper. You have until Friday night to pack up your office and get out of here. Okay, I'm going to appoint somebody else. Okay.
Interesting. I never knew that. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe happened to the greatest chairperson we ever had, Matthew Dowse. Okay. Now only Matthew knows the truth. Okay. But I believe he was told by Bloomberg. Okay. Bloomberg knew that this Uber thing was going to happen, okay? And you might say, well, how do I know that? I'm not an idiot. And when he said, I'm going to fuck up your industry, Okay.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Bad word.
It's okay. We're on the internet. We can say whatever we want. I'm going to destroy your fucking industry, he said. He said it out loud at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, verbatim. You're quoting him. You're quoting him.
Right. I'm quoting him. He said, I'm going to destroy your fucking industry. Okay?
Verbatim.
Right. And yeah. and everybody looked at him, and he said that to, what's his name, Friedman. Okay?
And the so-called tax king at the time.
Yeah, right. And Friedman said, "Well, what's he going to do? Bring in a bunch of gypsy cabs to run this to pick up all the fares?" Well, yes, that's exactly what happened.
Bingo.
Okay,
bingo.
That's exactly what happened. Okay, all right. So, so I believe that and I'm saying this, I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see it happen. But I believe he wanted Matthew Dowse to take part in this game. Okay, and when Matthew Dowse said, "I won't do it," okay. Now I don't know that he did this. I don't, Matthew. I know that me and you never talk or anything like that. But you might be listening to this. I just believe this is what happened. That he asked Matthew to do this, and Matthew said, "I'll have no part of it."
Right.
Okay.
Now the thing with Matthew Dowse is there were a couple of court cases where he, there were. There was a little rain on some otherwise sunny days, but all in all, as far as TLC chair people go, he was head and shoulders above the rest. There was no comparison. He was at the risk of damning Matthew Dowse with faint praise. He was the best chair.
The best chairperson we ever had. He was definitely a driver and medallion owner guy. All right, he respected us and he treated us with respect. Okay,
just for the folks who don't know, he was the former chairperson of the TLC. When he had an auction, you had first generation cabbies bought their first medallion at City Auction, and in the course of within 10 years, they basically increased their net worth by about $400,000 on the price of the medallion, and he also established a lease cap. Where cabbies who didn't own a medallion but worked for the fleet would not be gouged renting cabs. So those two things he did, out of everything else, those were fantastic things he did. And he also was conscious of when the cabbies needed a fare increase. He would look at they call it the COLA, the cost of living, cost of living aggregate or something like that. But he would look at the COLA and he would say, okay, well, the COLA is 12%, the cabbies got to get some money, boom. And then for him to get unceremoniously shown the door by Mayor Bloomberg, I thought that was evil, in my opinion. And considering the guy they brought in, you talk about a complete
that's what I'm getting at. The guy they brought in was right on the money and said, okay, I'll do it. Okay, because, great Alan Decker told me, that when he went and met with the new commissioner, Mr. Yasky, and he told me after that he was more interested in the FHVs than he was in the medallion taxis. He told me this, So, put two and two together,
Also, I think at the time...
All right?
I know. At the time, Yasky was... deluding himself that he was going to get elected somewhere for something in Brooklyn, and he got his comeuppance at the polling at the voting booth real quick. So even they didn't want anything to do with him. And now apparently he's running a college, which he's found his way to BS his way into a prime gig, and we're stuck with a lot of his stuff that he did in a very short time at the taxi commission, and now we have I think it's 100,000 registered non-yellows at the taxi commission versus 14,000 yellows at the taxi commission. So you get 114,000 cars, of which 14,000 cars are yellow cabs, which people love, and 100,000 vehicles, which is a mishmash of everything on the streets of New York other than yellow cabs. So that thank you, Chairman Yasky, for screwing up the city of New York, in my opinion. Yes, go ahead.
Well, he was a big help. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. I don't want to say no more. Okay. I mean, I've said what I you know, because mm-hmm. You know, what I'm saying is just what I'm thinking. Okay, I don't want to. I don't want to say that this definitely happened because I wasn't there. Okay, but you know, you draw conclusions. Okay, people draw conclusions. Yep. Okay, you can draw your own conclusion. Okay, but I know, you know, the things that I've said, you know, are things that I think are true. Okay.
Right. One more thing. Let's change gears for a second. I got to get out of here and go to work because the streets are very busy. I'm looking at it right now. So,
yeah.
One last thing. Oh, they had this driver award ceremony, and I'm very upset because where's my driver award? No points, no accidents, no TLC complaints, no nothing. I never get a driver award, and there's a lot of guys like me. I'm saying, well, I mean, I'm not hating on the guys who got awards.
Well, what I want to know. Hello.
Yeah. Not hating on the people who got awards. God bless them and him and her and all these quality people who are given awards. But the fact of the matter is, and I said it all along, and I don't know why they don't do this, why don't they have a color-coded hack license for people in New York City, when they get in the cab, they could see, let's say they'll see a green hack license motif for someone who is, you know, this, or a diamond hack license motif for someone who's been driving for 20 years, or a red hack license motif for someone who's had 10 accidents. How about that?
Well, that's fine, but I want to know where my lifetime achievement award is.
I'll make one up for on the computer.
You know, how about a taxi cab driver hall of fame? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's long overdue because I'll tell you the other thing that we do. Besides driving people from point A to point B, what about all the problem solving and shoulder to cry on and life coach stuff that cabbies do? I mean, for God's sakes, we're also a life coach. They talk about robots. Cabbies are the little gray area where you can talk to a cab driver, and maybe I can't tell you how many times I've helped people work out their problems just talking to them. So we do a lot of stuff for the societal fabric of New York City. And the thanks we get is we get our heads stuck in the toilet every chance they get. So I think we have to change that up a little. But I think just from a primary standpoint, like if you have a driver who's been driving for 40 years, why can't you put that on the hack license? Say 10-year driver, 20-year driver. Those are two things that make me crazy. Put the rates on the door and tell the people how much experience the driver has. Because if you get in the cab, right, if you get in a cab and you see on the hack license, and they used to have that, you know, licensed since 19 whatever or 2000 whatever, you can instantly see it. You can instantly see, well, the driver's been driving for 10 years. I can just tell him where I'm going. Or, well, the driver's driving for 10 days. I better tell him what to do. So, I mean, that right there would solve a lot of problems. But this is the rally cry from the taxi commission. There's nothing I can do. So we have a chairperson who's, MacArthur, I have returned. You have, Roosevelt with you. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. And then we have chairperson Diane, you have chairperson Yoshi with there's nothing I can do. So Roosevelt, then you have Eisenhower, then you have Yoshi.
Well, you know, we need somebody
the great leaders
that could find something they can do.
Yeah.
There's plenty they can do. They can do. Okay.
Yeah.
And the first thing they should do is throw these people out of their office that come in there daily and tell her what to do.
Right. The first thing is to blast is, look, pal, you got reelected. I don't know how it happened, but you got reelected. You have the luxury now of shaking the rug. You don't have to, you know, worry about the leftovers from Bloomberg because now you're the second term mayor. Get your own team.
There shouldn't be anybody from Bloomberg's administration in de Blasio's administration.
Well, apparently there's urban legend is that Bloomberg was still kind of running the show for the first 2 years of de Blasio's term. Okay. I mean, he had all Bloomberg people.
Okay, it's been 4 years now. It's been four years, and de Blasio's getting another 4 years. Okay? Right. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, that's assuming that, he could get it, you know, keep the job, okay, that nothing happens to get him out of the job, all right?
Yeah, that's true.
If you catch my drift, all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
you know.
Well, look, I mean, he's signed and sealed by the the mandate of 21.7% of the voters showed up for the polls, which is I had a kid in the cabbie work for one of the candidates, one of the early on candidates, a Republican.
Yeah,
it would have cost $40 million to launch a decent campaign against de Blasio. So he said, I think he was volunteering for this guy Massey, a real estate guy, Massey.
Right.
So Massey goes in. He's got about $6 or $8 million, and he's got some ads. He's running, and all of a sudden it dried up. And it's like, well, how much more do we need? Well, you need another $32 million. Goodbye. So that's politics today. And ironically, they said if it became a real race, they didn't have to spend real money, and a lot more people would have showed up at the polls. So it's a dynamic that is very bizarre. But the end game was that de Blasio, the so-called mandate, is he got 65% of the vote. Maliotakis, the, quote, lady from Staten Island, unquote, got 30%. And 21.7 of the registered voters actually showed up to go to vote, which is a travesty. So basically 80% of the people don't vote. What are you kidding me?
Maybe 80% of the people, maybe 80% of the people didn't even know there was an election.
Could be. The math is if all the people who complained about de Blasio woke up and went to the polls, there'd be no more de Blasio. So you can say out of that 80%, if half of the 80%, the anti-de Blasio people actually got off their ass and decided to vote, we might have had a different result, but not to be.
But
for the next election, I don't know who's going to be the next mayor. God help us. So, listen, I got to get out here and make money. Is that okay with you?
How much do I get?
I'll let you know in 2 weeks.
All right. So you, how about some of the people that support us?
By all means. The good people over at Checkout Management, 718-361-6300. 718-361-6300, immediately located on 38th Avenue in Long Island City, 11th Street in Long Island City, convenient to buses, trains. They have vans, they have Camrys, they have all kinds available for quality drivers, full-time, part-time, weeklies. Call up Checkout Management for their great deals, 718-361-6300. Now, what do you got?
I got the MTBOT, okay, which gives free defensive driving and wave training course instruction, free online TLC application and renewal processing, free legal representation at Oath, Port Authority, Traffic and Criminal Court, and free experienced MTBOT staff members to work directly with the drivers. Okay, call 718-784-4343 and ask for Kanchan Das. Okay.
That number again?
718-784-4343. Okay.
Right. And also up the road we have, go ahead.
We have Florin over at WB Taxi. Okay.
WB Taxi.
Florin's a pretty good guy, and he lists his rates right here on NYC Taxi News. Okay. For
that he does. I noticed that the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. For weekly shifts and day-by-day shifts. Okay. Uh-huh. And if you want to work for him, you know he's very conveniently located on 43rd Avenue, just off of Queens Boulevard. Okay, it's a hop, skip, and a jump from the number 7 train. Okay, 718-729-7777. Okay, give him a call. He's at 3511 43rd Avenue in Long Island City. Okay,
that's great. And you got a. An attorney who can help you out if you're in the jackpot financially.
Let me get to him in a second. Let me first tell you about NYC Taxi Group over at 876 McDonald Avenue in Brooklyn, 718-253-3501. And they have a thing going called Lacus, okay, which is an app. That will let you work the hours you want, the number of hours you can work, okay? No need to put your money down for a complete shift, unless if you want to, okay? And if you choose, you could also pay a 35% commission on the meter, meaning that you keep 65% of the meter plus your tips, okay?
Interesting.
Not only that, you can use the app to find a taxi near your place of residence and not have to travel all the way to Brooklyn to get the cab. Okay?
Oh, there you go. I love that concept, and I hope it takes off like wildfire, because it's the future. And that's what's been killing us with this Uber crap, is because they can log on and log off their platform when they feel like working, and they don't have to work like an animal for 16 hours. So, but some of them do, and they smell like the part too. So they really got to find a way to get these guys away from 16-hour cab driving. We're not slaves.
Yeah, that might be the trend in the future. But the NYC Taxi Group is the ones that have started this, or the first ones to take advantage of the new rules that were passed last year or the year before. Okay.
Beautiful.
So give them a call. At 718-253-3501, and they will explain it all to you. Okay, or click on the websites of these ads, and you could get in touch with them through their websites. Okay.
Right. Now the other thing is, if we talked about medallion auctions and guys losing their medallions, you have an attorney, a new guy, an attorney who can help you out in that department.
Well, he's Peter Joseph, and he's a Harvard-trained attorney for bankruptcies and stuff like that, and, you know, keeping creditors off your back. So give him a call, okay, at 212-924-1498 or 646-337-7051, or give him an email, peter.joseph72@post.harvard.edu. Visit his website, www.peterjosephlaw.com, or come to the first page, the homepage of NYC Taxi News, and click on any of these ads, and you will be taken to their web pages. Okay? Including Tony Tax, and it's almost December, and you know what happens on January 1st? Bingo, it's tax season. Okay?
Yep.
And you need a good accountant. Don't try to cheat the government, because the government will find you. Okay?
The government will find it. And I'll tell you something else, is that with all this high-tech credit card stuff, the credit card right now, in my experience with the cab driving, it's gotten about 70%, 70-30 credit card and cash. So you have to find a way to get every legal deduction possible and every business expense that you may or may not know. So this is a problem. A lot of cabbies try and wing it and do stuff themselves, but you need professional tax people who know stuff now. I mean, you got to be an adult now, and you got to get your stuff professionally done.
Yeah.
And you need a guy like a Tony Tax to help you out, because there's a lot of deductions that cabbies don't know about, and the depreciation and, you know, all these things that you need professional people. So, you know, get it going.
Okay. And Tony Tax is 718-413-6126. And Tony will come to you. You don't have to go find him. He'll find you. Okay?
There you go.
All right.
Yep.
And you can click on his little ad here on NYC Taxi News to get more information. And that's it for now. Okay?
If you want to
advertise on NYC Taxi News, the advertisers here keep renewing. Okay? And because they keep renewing,
they sure do.
You know, that tells me that these ads are working for them. Okay.
The ads are working. The ads are working, and it's a great deal. And don't be scared when you hear internet advertising. Oh, my God. No. Because Abe is a genius. I'll let you a little secret. Abe's a genius. He can make you a promotional piece for the website, and we can include that in the promotional costs, and it's a great thing. So don't be afraid of advertising on the ad.
Three of these ads on the front page I made.
But anyway, he can go into his lab in the bunker where he works out of, and create a voila moment for you for your advertising.
Okay.
So listen, can I go out to work now, please?
No,
I'm begging you. Can
I
go out?
I just want to say.
You want to do another hour? Let's do another hour.
No, I just want to say that get in touch with us here at NYC Taxi News, NYC Taxi News AOL.com, or you could phone and leave a message for NYC Taxi News, 516-447-0953. And what else? There was something else I can't remember. Okay.
You want to? You were going to say goodbye and thank you, and we'll see you next week. That's what you're going to say.
Oh yeah, no. Please, please visit our message board, and please become a poster on that message board. We want your input. We want to hear from
right.
you. We want you to join in the discussion. Okay.
Yes, and a lot of people. Ironically, a lot of people go to the message board to look at the discussion, but they don't want to join the discussion.
Okay, and the last thing I want to say is that Mike is taking up a fund for a computer. He needs a computer. Okay, so
yes,
you know, so
yes. I'm asking Santa Claus to send me a computer.
Yes, but, right.
Hopefully that'll count.
Right, Mike has not been
the
able.
Santa Claus computer.
Mike phone. Has not been able to go online from his house. He has to go to the library. Okay.
Nah. Listen. I'm enjoying my month off from being locked online on the computer,
okay,
from my screen addiction. I'm recovering from screen addiction, which most of the millennials have.
Okay, but
so it hasn't been that big of a
but
loss.
You're getting your computer for Christmas, right?
I'll be getting a computer. I have a computer, and I have to get an ISP provider. That's what I'm getting. I'm getting it that
next. I see. So you have the computer, you just need the provider. Okay.
Right. Well, the one motivational thing for me here is winter's on the way, and if I'm stuck in the house without a computer and the internet, then that wouldn't be a good thing, because right now I'll be in Siberia. It'll be a horrible situation, because the summertime you're running around doing stuff, you really don't need a computer, in my opinion.
Okay.
But I'm not a millennial. Listen, I'm not a millennial. I don't have to see a computer all the time. I can check in for a computer. You do all this stuff on the computer, because that's, you know.
Yeah, but
thing.
we need you on the message board, you know, more than one day a week.
I'm on the radio 1 hour a week. Well, how much Michael do you need? You know, I'll put some stuff on the message board. I'll start posting again on the message board.
You,
I promise.
Will you be on the Taxi Dave show tonight?
And I will be on the Taxi Dave show tonight, 8 o'clock in New York City, 710 WORAM. And like I said, it's the number one show in New York at that time for
Okay, let's hope that this is not Dave's last show, okay?
Well, he's been banging the last show thing for a few weeks, so hopefully we can keep that show going. It's beyond logic why that show would come off the air. It's the number one show for that slot, for what it is, in New York City. It's ridiculous.
Okay, let's see what happens. Let's listen to the Taxi Dave show tonight and hope that there's many, many more. Okay?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
All right. We'll be on the air here on our little website next week, so don't fret. There'll be something for you to digest.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Okay, good night, New York. Good night, world. And thank you very much. Amy, you're doing a great job, and I'll call you guys. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye, everybody. Yeah.